The automotive industry is having a moment. With the onset of digital transformation and 5G, automotive is leveraging the potential of cellular connectivity. Companies like Ericsson have helped enable tech that turn your car into a smartphone, a sound system, a map, a traffic reporter, and more things we can barely imagine. By 2025, the share of connected vehicles on the road will reach 53%, with BCG estimating that will surge to 77% by 2030. We welcome back Ericsson Canada Vice President and Chief Technology Officer Yasser Hussain to this special sponsored episode of the CART.ca podcast to talk about how the low latency and high bandwidth of 5G networks is enabling a wide range of use cases for connected vehicles, 5G applications being tested across the country, and where the connected vehicle evolution is headed.
Afternoon, Yasser Hussain. I am the CTO for Ericsson here in Canada. A quick background. I've been a 20-year Ericsson careered person working with Ericsson across different geographies. I worked in Europe, Asia, Africa, and of course, I've been here in Canada for the last 3 years now. And I have experience across different portfolios in Ericsson, working in product management, research, standardization, and of course, facing our customers and working with industry and governments here in Canada for the last 3 years.
Let's start by talking about 5G and telecommunications in the automotive space. There are two distinct areas here. One is the vehicles themselves and how consumers interact with them, and the other is the infrastructure perspective and the transport networks themselves. Do you want to start, Yasser, by talking about those two dimensions of digitization where the automotive sector is concerned?
Absolutely. And I think it starts with just grounding ourselves with basic concept of connectivity. We're very used to that from a very consumer personal perspective with smartphone devices in our pockets and wearables and watches and all sorts of, you know, different devices that benefit from connectivity. And I think from a purely automotive vehicle perspective, if we start with that, connectivity within the car has been something that we've, you know, seen enabled over at least the last 2-3 generations of cellular connectivity. Even before we got into the 4G cycle, we had connectivity within the car. And I would say there are two, maybe even contexts within that. There's certain connectivity that is visible to the consumer or the car owner, and others that is more behind the scenes, so to say, that is enabled by the car OEM. And just to give you an example, I mean, there are basic connectivity modules within a car that you may not be aware of as a owner of a car, but that connectivity is then used to track, you know, warranty periods, car maintenance cycles, just performance metrics that the car manufacturer would like to, you know, have data visibility of to support with service, long-term quality control, things like that. And there has been certain connectivity also that's been used to provide data to third parties for different services. And of course, over the last 10 years, we've gotten used to connectivity within a car, you know, with streaming services for music, mapping services, of course, and that's just having, you know, data connectivity in the car through Wi-Fi for kids at the back seat, right? So that's been very consumer-facing connectivity that's very much embedded into the car. And as we go into this 5G cycle that we're in, that connectivity has just improved in terms of capacity, performance, latency. And that just opens up more and more use cases, which we can talk about, both that are consumer facing, but also that are very much intrinsic to how a car OEM would like to benefit from that connectivity. The other context, which very much relies on, I would say, 4G, and especially now with 5G, is the infrastructure part of it. And there are two elements to this as well. There is a parallel layer of connectivity infrastructure that I would say, if we were phrase it this way, that it is embedded within the transport infrastructure. And what I mean by that being separate from the cellular network that you typically would consume from one of your service providers would be dedicated connectivity. For example, cell sites, radios, antenna, and all the back end network infrastructure that is very much tied into the traffic management system. So I'll give you an example. When you go to an intersection, you have traffic lights. There would be some sort of connectivity that is baked in to those traffic lights that would either coordinate the actual traffic light management, but also would be used to actually directly communicate with cars that pull up to an intersection. And then, of course, there is an element that you need the connectivity in the car as well to execute on that. So that's the other layer of connectivity. This is where the vehicles, the cars, the trucks would communicate with traffic management systems. And this, the easiest example, of course, is the traffic lights. But there's a lot more, that's embedded within a traffic management system, so to say.
Can you talk more, Yasser, about how connectivity is evolving vehicles?
So absolutely. I mean, I think we've seen a trend in cars becoming, as much as they are mechanical devices, very much electronic software-driven devices. So a lot of the functionality within a car is very much now electrified, so to say, and this goes within the electrification context. And then there's communication requirements from the car to the outside world, so to say, right? And this is where, you know, how do you coordinate charging for cars? How do you coordinate the different mapping systems within a car is executed? It's very much dependent on connectivity. But we also see, as I mentioned earlier, within a car, there are so many services that are consumer facing that really require the latest generation of connectivity. You can no longer function without having, you know, the latest mapping capabilities, communication capabilities within a car, as well as, of course, entertainment, you know, services. We talked about streaming before, but there's a whole suite of services that are targeted towards consumers. So we're seeing the car become very much a hub when it connects to connectivity. It isn't just something that takes you from point A to point B. You are starting to consume a lot of telecommunication services, and a car is very much a parallel to your smartphone in many ways today.
Do you want to talk about V2X and ITS, intelligent transport systems, and how interconnectivity can improve the driver experience on the road?
Maybe let's define V2X. V2X stands for vehicle to everything. The X there can stand for other vehicles, so that would be V2V. The X could stand for I, being infrastructure, so that's vehicle to infrastructure. And a third example to keep in mind is pedestrian. So V2P is another example where a vehicle could directly communicate to pedestrians. And what is the context for this communication then? So vehicle-to-vehicle communication would be, again, very simply, you know, two cars speaking to each other. And what's the use case? Why would we want that to happen? Imagine, you know, autonomous driving. Of course, cars today rely on sensors, you know, software within a car to achieve autonomous driving. And there are layers or levels to autonomous driving, you know, where assisted driving may be at the bottom and fully autonomous at the top without any driver interaction whatsoever. So the further up that hierarchy you go and you want full automation of the driving experience, you need to complement the sensors within a car, you know, to have an experience that is not only efficient, but also extremely safe. So an example where vehicle-to-vehicle communication would happen is, imagine if you're pulling up to a traffic light and the car in front of you does a very sudden braking maneuver. Of course, there is a time, a delay in time if a car behind you is going to react using just sensors. What could make this even more safer and more efficient is if the car would transmit that braking maneuver to all the vehicles behind it. So the cars could react very, very quickly. So this makes it, of course, much, much safer. So this is an example where cars would communicate to each other in real time, not just braking, but any, you know, maneuvers that is taking, you know, traffic turns, braking, lane changing. So cars having the ability to speak to each other and do this coordination rather than just relying on, you know, sensor-based reactivity just makes the entire system much more safe and efficient. So this is the, you know, the concept of V2X. Another example would be if you are pulling up to a junction, and if a car, you know, has the ability to transmit to pedestrians around it that is taking a right turn, for example, and a pedestrian or a cyclist would get that alert. And if the smartphone in your pocket kind of realizes that you're not stopping, and the car has, you know, said that it's pulling up to an intersection, you would get an alert. So it just adds more safety elements to the the interaction of cars on the road with, you know, pedestrians and other vehicles around it. The other element is the infrastructure part, so the V2I piece. This is the example I referred to earlier, is a car being able to communicate with traffic infrastructure. So traffic lights is the easiest example. A use case for that would be a car pulling up to an intersection again and seeing that there's a, you know, a red light. The red light would be able to communicate with the cars at that intersection and say, this red light is going to stay red for, you know, 2 minutes. What's the benefit of that communication? Well, the car engine could turn off and it could turn back on again, you know, just a few seconds before the green light. So this is a sustainability element to it, but it's also safety included in it. And it also increases the efficiency of traffic flow. But this is just one example of, you know, a car speaking to the traffic lights directly. There is a huge, you know, back-end infrastructure behind traffic lights that could benefit from that connectivity. So imagine a vehicle or a traffic management system in the cloud that is able to see just the volume of traffic at every traffic light or, every intersection. And it knows how many cars are, you know, at a particular junction. And it can see the entire picture within a city or a particular, grid system, and is able to make much more intelligent decisions in terms of how to, you know, maximize the efficiency of this traffic flow. It can keep, you know, the green light longer when it needs to. It can switch between, you know, red, green, and amber in a much more efficient way. So there's a lot of benefit of this connectivity that cars are able to speak not just to the traffic lights, but there's a huge variety of infrastructure at the back end that would be able to benefit from this. And this part of it is what we refer to as ITS, right? So that's intelligent transport systems, where the transport system has become much more intelligent because it's able to, speak to all the vehicles on the road. Today, there is a very passive way of doing this. So I think everybody is familiar with cameras at intersections. What you rely on in terms of intelligence from that sort of system is that you are using vision through cameras to detect cars. You're able to read, of course, you know, number plates. But everything relies on a interpretation of video. When you're able to speak to the cars themselves through connectivity, there's much more, you know, direct communication that can happen and much more variety of information that can be exchanged. And that's kind of the difference between vehicles speaking to the system versus just relying on cameras to just decode vehicles and types and things like that. The C in ITS, so ITS-C, is the collaborative part. And that, of course, is realized if there is a majority of vehicles on the road that can have this communication, and they can communicate with the infrastructure, as we talked about, but they can also communicate with themselves and other vehicles. That's where the collaborative element comes in.
Can you give us some more examples of automotive and telecommunications companies' work in terms of testing 5G applications right here in Canada?
So I think a few examples to highlight would be specifically around traffic management. So we've seen a few examples in terms of work being done, both in terms of established OEMs, but also the very healthy startup ecosystem that is nurtured by academia here in Canada, where Ericsson and of course other telecom companies participate in different, you know, trials and proof of concepts, so to say. A few I could highlight are very much within the autonomous driving space. So there's a few test beds that have been executed, I would say also within a lab environment, but also starting to be realized in a practical field context as well. Where 5G connectivity is enabled both in the car, but also, as I said, in terms of, you know, outdoor transport system infrastructure. And then different use cases are experimented on in terms of how can we make driving safer, more efficient, but also how can we, you know, just improve the car experience for consumers with that connectivity. So we've seen over the last, I would say, 2 years, a lot of exercises being done with these different parties and trying to provide the infrastructure, I would say, to have some of these test cases become more robust. I think we're heading into a space where we would like to see, and I think we have visibility where some of these things would, you know, be realized practically. But of course, these are much larger projects that need to be executed, right, with municipalities, but also major car OEMs, because you need the volume for many of these use cases to be, you know, to be efficient. You can't really benefit if there's only 1 or 2% of cars with this connectivity. you really want this to become a default and have it as a volume default thing before you can really start to benefit. So I think we're starting to enter that cycle here as well.
What role do companies like Ericsson play in shaping the future of those 5G automotive applications?
Absolutely. So as a telecommunication vendor, of course, we are fundamental to providing the infrastructure, across the globe, very much so in Canada. We power the 5G networks that all Canadian consumers and industries benefit from. So that's a key part of it. And making sure that we have the right capability, I think, is even more important. So having a 5G network is one thing. Having a 5G network that has the capacity, the performance, and the functionality that's targeted towards consumers. And this is how we typically refer to the mobile broadband network. But there are other capabilities in that 5G network that have to be enabled, especially when we were talking about the V2X space. There are certain capabilities that have to be enabled in the 5G network to allow some of those use cases and vehicle connectivity to happen. So Ericsson is very much part of making those capabilities available to the service providers and the OEMs in Canada. But I think it starts much, much earlier than that. And I think Ericsson, we're very proud of the fact that we've worked. Some of this stuff starts happening 10, 15 years before it's even available. And we're speaking about it today in late 2024. It starts with, doing research, a decade and a half before the fact, working with different car OEMs, working with academia to realize these use cases and even think of them and figuring out what are the standards needed. And Ericsson has been working at this for a long time, also going into the 3GPP standards to make sure that a lot of these capabilities become standardized. So they're available both from the network part of it, but also from the modems, the chipsets, and the connectivity modules that will be embedded in vehicles. And then we have been part of different industry groups that are targeted to the automotive space. So Ericsson has played a key part in working within that context to do the trials globally, do the proof of concepts, work with connectivity providers to make sure their networks are ready. So there's a lot of things that happen before we get to the point where consumers, start to benefit from this connectivity. So this is a very long journey that Ericsson has been a part of, I would say at least 15 years.
You've already touched on this a little bit, but the integration of 5G in the automotive industry is not without its challenges. What are some of the key obstacles and how is the industry addressing them?
Two elements I will say to that. And I think the first is becoming less of a bottleneck today. Maybe 10, 15 years ago with earlier generations of communication capabilities. I speak of 2G, 3G at that time. The cost of embedding connectivity in the cars and vehicles was something that OEMs had to consider. And it's not just the cost of putting in a module in a car, it's the cost of testing and integration and support and maintenance that kind of is an end-to-end and a life cycle cost that you have to look at. I think now in the 4G and especially now in the 5G cycle that we're in, the cost of that connectivity and the overall cost of ownership and the benefit calculations are much, much easier or in favor of the OEMs today. It is much easier to take a very tested, verified connectivity solution and have it embedded in cars from day one when it leaves the factory floor. And we've seen a seeding of that over the last, I would say, 20 years, where even a decade ago, the percentage of cars with any form of cellular connectivity in the car was low. I think today it is very much a default. Any car that you purchase has cellular connectivity, baked into it. Again, some of it may be subscription-based towards the consumer, but connectivity itself is very much in the car. So we've come to a point where this is no longer, I think, a big issue or a bottleneck for either OEMs or for, municipalities to deal with. The other piece is, of course, the connectivity itself. And again, now that we're in the 5G cycle, I think we've improved the connectivity very much. I think there's a few elements where connectivity still needs to be fixed. And I speak to purely road infrastructure. So there are parts of geographies, and I speak not only of Canada, but this is across the globe, where remote highways may not have the best connectivity. There are patches of highways in maybe rural areas or mountainous areas where we don't have the same advanced 5G capabilities, both in terms of coverage or maybe some of the 5G feature enablement that has taken place. And you really need to have a blanket coverage of 5G across your entire road network. But remember, we're speaking of transport here, and it's not just road. We're speaking of even railway tracks. So I think just providing connectivity on a very high percentage of the infrastructure is something that needs to be still looked at. There's a, you know, the last 5-10% challenge that remains. And then the third element, I would say, is the partnership between, you know, ourselves as telecommunication vendors, but vehicle OEMs, but more so the municipalities, right? The traffic authorities, the cities, the highway systems. How do you work together to benefit from this connectivity? Today, it works a little bit more in patchwork terms, but there has to be more of an end-to-end vision and collaboration to realize some of these benefits. It does happen today, but I don't think it's as coordinated as it should be. And I think one way to look at it would be another buzzword from maybe a few years ago, is the whole concept of smart cities. We've used connectivity in bits and pieces, but to really gain in terms of efficiencies and rely on, you know, big data and AI and improve traffic flow and improve safety in our cities, you really need all of these things to come together and be managed as one entity and one system that is integral to our concept of a smart city. But even beyond that, because this is beyond cities, of course.
Looking ahead, what are some potential future developments we can expect to see in the realm of 5G advanced and next generation technology in the automotive industry?
We spoke about the benefits of 5G versus previous generations of cellular communication in terms of how much more capacity performance we have access to with a 5G system. As we go towards advanced, there's a few certain key performance elements, but I will also add certain key features that are targeted to the automotive space that are designed for this use. They very much, I would say, sit within the V2X context, right? So how do you make vehicle-to-vehicle communication much more efficient, much more real-time in terms of latency, much more efficient from a capacity perspective? Because at the end of the day, you are having to juggle your 5G network capacity to make it available to consumers, to enterprises, to private networks, but now also for automotive industry, you really need to be very, very efficient in how you use the capacity of the system. So there are certain capabilities in the 5G advanced space that would target this. Why would you want to do that, of course, is the question, and what use cases would benefit from it? So I was speaking to the vehicle-to-vehicle communication piece earlier. It really does rely on very, very low latency communication. So, you know, the faster the communication between vehicles is, the more efficient, the more safe the autonomous driving experience becomes. And so this is very much the direction that some of these capabilities in 5G advanced are targeting, is to make that vehicle to vehicle communication better, faster and more efficient. Another example I can give you is for trucking. So for the logistics industry. So today, you're starting to see experimentation and some realization of autonomous trucking. And this is just an extension of, you know, autonomous vehicles that us as consumers drive. But when it comes to the trucking space, imagine having a fleet of trucks, driving on the highways and having the ability to drive very, very close to each other. And it may sound a little bit strange to say, why would you want to do that? One of the most, the biggest impacts on gas or petrol efficiency or, you know, the mileage for trucking is wind resistance. So having the ability for trucks to, behave on the road very much like how a train does on a railway track, you know, being very, very close to each other at high speeds requires extremely real-time communication between trucks. And so some of the functionality that is being targeted in the 5G advanced space is to make that vehicle-to-vehicle or truck-to-truck communication, in this case, extremely quick and extremely collaborative. So you can realize entire fleets of trucks, not only just, you know, driving on our highways at highway speeds, but extremely efficiently, most importantly, extremely safely, but also having that concept of doing fleet management, having the autonomous trucking, you know, go from point A to point B, having the mapping capabilities. All of these things are very much targeted towards vehicle-to-vehicle communications. And these are what we are bringing to To the fore through the 5G advanced standardization cycle.
Where can people go to learn more about this topic, Yasser?
So Ericsson.com, a quick search on the transport and ITS sector will point to a large number of both research articles, but also a more generic verbiage a consumer can understand. There are a few industry bodies that would be interesting, especially if you are within the automotive industry, a little bit more technical. 5G AA is one such industry body that is targeted towards the automotive space. So I would say those two references are a good starting point to learn more.
Is there a thought you'd like to close on, Yasser?
Absolutely. So I think speaking of digitalization in different industries, we've spoken in the past of the benefit to consumers with 5G mobile broadband access. We've spoken about getting fixed wireless access capabilities to 5G networks. And we've been speaking, I think, even here in Canada for the last 2 years in terms of the digitalization of different industries. We've spoken about the benefits of private networks to, the mining industry, to manufacturing. We've been speaking about the benefit of digitalization and 5G communication to, our first responders in terms of realizing broadband networks for first responders and public safety. I think the automotive industry is a key industry that has been on that road to digitalization for the last two decades now. And I think we've come to the point now in the maturity of both the 5G networks in terms of the coverage that we provide, but also the maturity in terms of the connectivity capabilities, the cost structures, the performance elements that are available in terms of embedding connectivity in vehicles, where we can now start to realize the benefits. And really, take the last few steps in digitalization of the automotive industry, both in terms of, as we said, the benefits to consumers for having, very much connected vehicles today, also improving the logistics industry and trucking in general in terms of autonomous driving, having safety features for drivers and truckers, but very much so now benefiting from this connectivity from the ITS point of view, where vehicles on the roads really need to start talking to transport systems and traffic systems so we can start to realize the benefits, right? Safety, I would say, is number one, but there are so many sustainability use cases. And I think we have come to that point, as I said, in terms of our capabilities of our networks, the coverage that we provide, but also the maturity on the vehicle side of things, that we should start to see a lot of practical implementations in the next few years.
Thanks so much for taking the time to join us, Yasser.
Absolutely. Thank you.
To learn more about Ericsson, visit ericsson.com. For the CART.ca podcast, I'm Connie Thiessen.